So today we are reading from Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text number 3. Chapter 1 entitled The First Step in God Realization. Nidraya hiyate naktam Vyavayena chavavaya Divacharthe haya rajan Kutumbha varane nava. Nidraya?
By sleeping.
Kriyate?
Wastes.
Naktam?
Night.
Vyavayena? Sex indulgence. Cha? Also. Va? Either. Vayaha, duration of life. Diva, days. Cha, and. Artha, economic. Ihaya, development. Rajan, O king. Kutumba, family members. Bharanena, maintaining. Va, either. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime either in making money or maintaining family members. Translation responsibly. The lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night either in sleeping, or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime, either in making money, or maintaining family members. Purport. The present human civilization is primarily based on the principles of sleeping and sex indulgence at night, and earning money in the day and spending the same for family maintenance. Such a form of human civilization is condemned in the Bhagavad school. Because human life is a combination of matter and spirit soul, the whole process of Vedic knowledge is directed at liberating the spirit soul from the contamination of matter. The knowledge concerning this is called Atma Tattva. Those men who are too materialistic are unaware of this knowledge and are more inclined to economic development for material enjoyment. Such materialistic men are called karmis, or fruitive laborers, and they are allowed regulated economic development or association of women for sex indulgence. Those who are above the karmis, that is, the jnanis, yogis and devotees, are strictly prohibited from sex indulgence. The karmis are more or less devoid of atma-tattva knowledge, and as such, their life is spent without spiritual profit. The human life is not meant for hard labor for economic development, nor is it meant for sex indulgence like that of the dogs and hogs. It is specially meant for making a solution to the problems of material life and the miseries thereof. So the karmis base their valuable human life by sleeping and sex indulgence at night, and by laboring hard in the daytime to accumulate wealth. And after doing so, they try to improve the standard of materialistic life. The materialistic way of life is described herein in a nutshell, and how foolishly men waste the boon of human life is described as follows. Om Ajnana Dimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunnatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachanam Kamgum Nangayate Giram Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Padadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here Shukadeva Goswami, in a nutshell, he is describing the life of an envious householder. In a nutshell, it's describing the materialistic way of life. Shukdev Goswami's. So Maharaj Parikshit, in the previous canto, asked what's the duty of people in general, and especially what's the duty of a person who is about to die. And now Shukdev Goswami has started to reply to those questions. And the reply to those two questions is the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, the subject matter of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam actually begins in the second canto, when Shukdev Goswami starts speaking. So here he is describing the lifestyle of an envious householder. And that's described in a nutshell. So we can see how practical this is. And it's interesting, it's mentioned here that the lifetime of such an envious householder. So Shukdev Goswami has used the word envious. And as we heard in yesterday's verse, Shrutta Vyadini Rajendra Ninam Santi Sahasrasha Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. Those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing in human society, O Emperor. So, the nature of the conditioned living entity is that the conditioned living entity is envious. So, but in our true nature, we are not envious. We are actually proud to be a servant of Krishna. So when the living entity comes to this material world, the very reason the living entity comes to this world is because of envy of Krishna. So Krishna is the predominator in this creation, both spiritual and material, and the living entity is the predominated. So when the predominated doesn't like the position of the predominator and wants to take that position, so out of envy the living entity is put in the material world to try to become the predominator. So that envy with Krishna, that expands to other living entities also. Because in the material world, every living entity is trying to become the predominator. And the conditioned living entity wants other living entities to be predominated and to serve the predominator living entity in illusion. So because of that, there is envy. And as we have heard so many times, this material world is a prison house. And in the prison house, every person is a criminal. So I was hearing this class by Prabhupada. He's saying that in the prison house, every living entity is a criminal. So we might, you know, some people say, they worship Mahatma Gandhi or this person, that person is a great person. But actually everyone is a criminal. Whoever's in the prison house is a criminal. So one might be a great criminal or little less. But point is everyone is a criminal. So there is envy is there amongst living entities because everyone wants to be the supreme. So when someone else is doing better than us, then there is bound to be envy. So that's just natural. So that's why Shukdev Goswami here says, an envious householder. So, and we see this amongst materialistic householders. There is a lot of envy. The very fact is that householder life is based on passion, the mode of passion. So there is hankering for honor, prestige, recognition, all these things. That's why one enters. So, and if the materialistic householders, these things are inflamed. So there's naturally they're hankering for prestige and honor in society. So when they see someone else doing better, there is envy. It's like, for example, I remember in my neighborhood, back in India, like the neighborhood is obviously full of householders. So they would be talking, okay, my son is going to London or my son is going to America for studies through this university. What is your son doing? He's just doing BA, you know, this Bachelor of Arts. So in India, arts is not looked upon very highly. If someone's doing engineering or medicine, then okay, you know, that's something substantial. So like that, it's all based on envy. So the lifetime of such an envious householder. So Shukdeva Goswami is describing what's going on in this material world. And in fact, the purpose of human form of life is to make a higher inquiry. Otherwise, we're just like animals. You know, there's that nice verse. Ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha samanya metat pashubhi naranam. So the only difference between humans and animals is that human beings have the ability to make a higher inquiry. So what's that higher inquiry? That's Atma Tattvam. So that Atma Tattvam means, higher inquiry means inquiry into who we are and what is our relationship with God and what are we doing here. So that's the higher inquiry. So that's what human form of life is meant for, as Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad, that human form of life is meant to extricate oneself from the entanglement of matter. So the spirit soul is encased in a material body. So when we come to the material world, we get a material body to enjoy, to try to enjoy. So this material body is made out of material elements. But our nature is, we are spiritual by nature, we are the spirit soul. So it is quite an incompatible situation. The spirit soul is Sachit Ananda by nature, and the material body is the exact opposite. So the material body is temporary, full of ignorance, and full of misery. That's basically the nature of the body. These are the bare facts. So the spirit soul is in an incompatible situation. So the spirit soul is trying to be Sachit Ananda in a body which is the exact opposite. So the human form of life is to inquire into Atma Tattva, into who we are, and that's real intelligence. You know, Sanatana Goswami, when he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "People call me a great person. You know, I'm a learned scholar. I know so many languages." But he's saying, "I don't know who am I, where I came from, and why I'm suffering. So what's the use of my great scholarship?" So in other words, real intelligence means to inquire into the self, inquire into God. What is our relationship with Krishna? But forgetting that, the living entity is inquiring into all other things except for Atma Tattva. So we see because of too much identification with the body. So when there is identification with the body, when one becomes absorbed in the body, one forgets this prime inquiry. So when we identify with the body, there are three kinds of urges which take place. There's a vachavegam, there's an urge to speak, there's the urges of the body, and then there are the urges of the mind. So these urges are there when there is identification with the body. And when one becomes engrossed in fulfilling these urges, one forgets the prime necessity of human form of life, which is Atma Tattva. Then one begins to inquire into so many other things. So we see that so much inquiry is going on because the human mind is inquisitive by nature. So all species, the human beings are most inquisitive. So human beings want to find out what's going on, what's this, what that. So many inquiries are going on. So on Google, you can just type, you know, how to install this software. And someone else would have already made this inquiry before you. As you're typing, it will come there. You know, what do you call that? It will give you the recent searches. So people are making so many inquiries on the internet. So this life is full of inquiries. And as in the first verse of this chapter, it is mentioned that there's so many types of questions and answers going on. But when the inquiry is in relationship to Krishna, is in relationship to our true self, that kind of inquiry is perfect. That's the highest inquiry. And that kind of inquiry is beneficial not only for oneself, but even for others. But other types of inquiry in relationship to how to enjoy in this world, how to make money, they are very temporarily beneficial. But they don't have any lasting benefit. So because of this identification with this body, so there are these urges which are produced. And then one is simply engrossed in fulfilling the needs of the body. So one who is very bodily conscious, this verse in a nutshell describes their life. And we can see that in today's society, people in the daytime are just making money. They are engrossed in making money. Either they're making money or they're spending that money to enjoy. And at night, either they're sleeping or they're having sex. So this is the sum and substance of materialistic life. So Srila Prabhupada, he describes in the purport, materialistic men are of two types. They are the karmis and the vikarmis. So the Vedas, the Vedic literature, recognizes the propensity of the living entity to enjoy in this world. That's why we are here. We are here in this world to enjoy separately from Krishna. So the Vedas, they recognize that propensity. So the whole idea is that, okay, if you want to enjoy, you enjoy in a regulated way. So we see in any kind of religious system, and even in the Vedic literature, material enjoyment is there, but in a regulated way, within the boundaries of the laws of nature, or the laws of God. So the whole idea is that one doesn't degrade oneself into lower species. So it is considered a great tragedy if one falls into a lower species of life, lower than the human form of life. So that's considered a greatest tragedy. And in fact, these days people don't consider that a tragedy. So some people say, I want to become a bird, you know, then I can fly so much. Or I want to become like a dog. Dogs have a better lifestyle than humans. They're treated very nicely. Or I want to become a cat. But from the Vedic point of view, that's a very big tragedy. Because one will be caught up in the cycle of birth and death. And only in the human form of life, one can make this Atma-Tattva inquiry. So from a human point of view, one has to elevate one's consciousness to Krishna consciousness. So the gradual path is, okay, if you want to enjoy, you enjoy according to the codes of God. So if we see even in the Vedic literature, it sanctions the eating of meat, for example. Meat eating is sanctioned, but under strict regulations and guidelines. If you want to eat, catch the animal yourself, kill it yourself, look in the eye, chant a mantra that next lifetime will swap positions. So by doing this, one will gradually awaken that, you know, such meat eating is not good. So intoxication is also there. Sex life is also sanctioned. So these things are sanctioned, but in a very restrictive and regulated way. So the idea being that one can gradually elevate oneself. Whereas in today's society we see that enjoyment, material enjoyment is going on in an unrestricted fashion. So that there are no restrictions how one can enjoy. And the problem with that is because there are no restrictions, everyone is bound by karma. So then for all those actions there will be a reaction. And then one falls down into the lower species of life. So in today's society, there are people are engaging in vikarma activities, activities which are against the Vedic literature, and those activities have a very negative effect. So unfortunately, then people fall into hellish conditions or into the hellish worlds. They take lower life forms like plants, animals, trees, or even in lower planets to suffer. So the Vedic program is to elevate everyone. So therefore Prabhupada mentions there's the karmis and the vikarmis. So the karmis are better in the sense they at least they fall under the umbrella of the Vedas. But then higher than the karmis are the jnanis. So the karmis are another type also. Some karmis want to go to heaven to enjoy. They know that this lifetime is not all in all. There's a next lifetime also. So I want to enjoy in my next lifetime. I don't want to fall down into a lower species of life. So in the next lifetime, they want to enjoy. So they perform different kinds of yajnas, pujas, demigod worship, so they can go to a higher planet. As Krishna says in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Trivedya mam soma pa puta papa yagyar ishva swargatim prarthayante te punyam asadya surendra lokam asanti divyam divideva bhogam. So those who study the Vedas and drink the soma juice, seeking the heavenly planets, worship me indirectly. So purified or sinful reactions, they take birth on the pious heavenly planet of Indra, where they enjoy godly delights. So those who are slightly more elevated, they'll want to go to heaven. Because in heaven, the duration of life is much longer and the standard of life is much higher than the earth. So like on the higher planetary systems, 6 months of our time is their 12 hours, if I'm not wrong, is the daytime. Then another 6 months is the nighttime. So in this way, they can live much more longer and their standards are much more higher for enjoyment. So those who want to enjoy more, this is what they seek. But the problem with all this is Shine Punya Martya Lokam Vishanti. One has to come back to this material world after one's pious credits are exhausted. So it's just like, you know, you have a debit card, you have a lot of money in it, but then if you keep spending it, it will finish. So then one has to start from scratch. So in the same way, when one's pious credits are exhausted, one has to come back to this earthly planet to again generate more pious credits or to go down. But such kind of life is very risky because a slight deviation in karma khanda can lead to negative consequences. And we see that in the example of King Nrika. So he made a slight mistake and then he ended up as a lizard. But Krishna says that men of small intelligence, they are attracted to such kind of activities. So as Krishna says in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadanti eva paschitaha veda vada rita partha nanya dasiti vadina kamatmana swarga para janma karma phala pradam kriya vishesha bahula bhogashvarya gatim prati. So Krishna says, men of small knowledge are attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas. So these are the flowery words of the Vedas. You know, you can enjoy there for a long time. Which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, result in good birth, power and so forth. So being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there's nothing more than this. So because they have a propensity to enjoy, they do not make this Atma Tattva inquiry. So even when they approach Vedic literature, they just see the flowery words. So they see, okay, how can I enjoy? And even when they read the Vedas, because their consciousness is filled with material enjoyment, so that's what they're looking for in the Vedas. So they look for those kind of statements, where we can enjoy. So even one who's reading Bhagavad Gita, if they're all about enjoying in this world, they can just pick up this verse, pick up such verses, which say, yes, you can enjoy on the heavenly planet. And they'll say, yes, this verse is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. But so they don't take the conclusion. They make the conclusion themselves. So that's the problem with their inquiry. But higher than them, as Prabhupada says here, are the jnanis. So a jnani realizes that Material desire leads to frustration, and material desire leads to repeated birth and death. So that's the problem with material desires. Because we have these fruitive desires, we want to enjoy separately from God. But the consequence of that is one has to suffer. One has to take another body. And one has to accrue karma. And because of that karma, one has to take another body. So, but by nature, because we are in the mode of passion means intense longing and endeavor and hankering and desires. So because of this mode of passion, it entangles us in karma. And because we entangle in karma, we have to take repeated birth and death. But the jnani, he realizes that all of this is pointless. So they make the inquiry into who I am. But their inquiry is not perfect because they don't inquire into Krishna. So they are also in avidya. So they are also in ignorance. Because their inquiry is falls short of Krishna. So but the karmis and the vikarmis, this is their lifestyle. So they are engaged at night either in sex life or in sleeping, or in the day in making money or maintaining family members. So we can see in today's society, people take a lot of pride in sleeping for many long hours. Like one time I went to the bank, I asked the teller, "So what did you do on the weekend?" He said, "I just slept." I said, "Oh really? You just slept for the whole week?" And he said, "Yeah, for most of the day I just slept, and it was bliss. It was so nice." And I was thinking, this is such a waste of time, you know, you're sleeping. But when one is in the material conception of life, they're blind to anything else, so they take a lot of pleasure in sleeping. Like one time I slept for 15 hours, the maximum I ever slept in my non-devotional days. So, and we take that's very nice. But for a devotee, that's a waste of time, because human life, every moment of human life is meant for becoming Krishna conscious. So for us, it's such a waste of time, sleeping. But for materialists, yes, it's at night, that's what night is meant for, either sleeping or having sex. So identification with the body produces a few urges, as Rupa Goswami mentions in the Nectar of Instruction. Vacha Vegam Manasakrodha Vegam Jiva Vegam Udarapasta Vegam Etan Vegam Yo Vishayahita Dhiraha. So there's a Vacha Vegam, there's an urge to speak. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, in his commentary, he categorizes them into three kinds of urges. The urges of the body, the mind, and speech or words. So in the urges of the body is the urges of the genitals. It's the pushing of the genitals and the belly and the tongue. So in the urges of the mind, he says unrestricted attachment. That's one urge. And then the other urge is frustration arising from such kind of attachment. So we see that this sex urge is there in all of us. It's there. So being a conditioned soul means there are these urges or these necessities of the body. Ahara, nidra, bhaya, maithunam cha. So the eating, sleeping, mating and defending, these are the needs of the body. These are the urges of the body. But spiritual life means to reduce these as much as possible. So materialistic life means to increase them as much as possible. So spiritual life is the exact opposite, because this has nothing to do with our real life, Krishna consciousness. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending has nothing to do with it. This is just a material need. This is the need of the body. So therefore, a bhakti yogi will try to reduce these as much as possible, not in an imitative way, but in a practical way as much as possible. And we see the six Goswamis, Nidra, Hara, So the six Goswamis, they reduced their sleeping to the extent they were only sleeping 1 hour a day or 1.5 hours a day. So they reduced it, the whole idea being that now they have 22.5 hours and they use that time in Krishna conscious activities. So it's easier to engage in Krishna conscious activities when you're awake than when you're sleeping. Because when we are sleeping, we don't have much control over our consciousness. We don't have much control. So when we are awake, we have control over our activities. But when we are sleeping, we don't have much control. So that's why a yogi will try to reduce his sleeping. So one of Arjuna's name is Gurakesha, means one who has conquered sleep. Arjuna was called as Gurakesha. He has conquered sleep. So spiritual life means to conquer sleep. So Prabhupada did not like his disciples sleeping too much. There was I was listening to one following Srila Prabhupada, and there, I think it was Kirtananda Swami, he was saying that he was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning. And he would begin his translations. So he would be translating his books. And then, but he would be translating in the dark. He would wake up and start chanting in the dark. And then Kirtananda Prabhu thought, now what do I do, you know? Prabhupada is chanting, do I wake up or do I keep sleeping? So then he just pretended to sleep. He could not sleep because Prabhupada was chanting. So he just pretended to sleep. So this went on for 1 or 2 days. And then the third day he got up and he also started chanting. So Prabhupada said, oh, you woke up? He said, yes, Prabhupada, I heard you chanting, so I thought I should also wake up and chant. So Prabhupada said, yes, that's very nice. I don't like to see my disciples sleeping a lot. So we can see that the whole idea behind is to reduce the bodily needs so one can focus on one's prime necessity of life. And there's this one purport in Bhagavad Gita where Prabhupada says, sleeping more than 6 hours. If one sleeps more than 6 hours, one is in the mode of ignorance. So from such statements, we can understand that we have to reduce our sleeping as much as possible. Of course, we should not imitate the acharyas and other advanced devotees because the body needs rest. So the function of sleeping is to give the body rest so one can, when we are awake, we can render in Krishna service. We can do Krishna service, but with an attentive mind. But if our mind is not attentive and we are disturbed, then sleeping less is not conducive for our spiritual life. So we have to, for everyone, it's different. Some people need a little bit more sleep, some can do with less. And we see in the daytime, people are engaged in simply making money and spending the money for their family or on themselves. But today's civilization is so blind that it is encouraging people to indulge in sex life and to sleep more and more. And that is actually a waste of time. And we can see that even when people are engaged in sex life, they're just wasting their time. It's momentary pleasure, but it's such a waste of time. You know, one can pass so many hours in such activities, and it's just a waste of time. So the whole idea is to reduce these activities. So this very nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Nunam Pramata Kurute Vikarma Yad Indriya Pritaya Aprinoti Nasavu Mane Atapunayam Asan Api Klesha Asadeha. So where Rishabh Devi says, when a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. And he does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but because he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification, therefore I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. So we can see that when people become blind to this prime inquiry, they just engage in materialistic activities without considering the consequences of the action. And when one engages in sex life, one is actually destroying one's own body. So as we know in Ayurveda, one drop of semen is made by 40, takes the essence of 40 drops of blood to make a little bit of semen. So when one engages in sexual activities, and of course sex life is also permitted in Krishna consciousness, dharma viridhu bhuteshu kamosmi bharadarshika. So Krishna says, I am sex life. That there is religious sex life also. So sex life for beginning nice Krishna conscious children is bona fide. And that's regulation. But when sex life is indulged for pleasure, that kind of life is very injurious to the body. So we see in the process people destroy their own body in trying to enjoy in this world, in a sexual way. So, do you have any questions or comments? Krantrajna Bhagavan ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.